We're glad to greet you again at this time after the Lord gave us a gracious Bible school of the air. This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is Pastor H.G. Gayo speaking and inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next hour. Our Father, we thank thee for thy grace, thy great grace that rests upon us. We thank thee for the grace that thou didst save us and the calling in which thou didst call us unto salvation in Christ. We thank thee for the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that giveth light unto our hearts and lets us look into this gospel that saves sinners, redeems us with thine own precious blood. And this morning we pray for grace for this hour, that grace will be given to sinners to turn to thee, grace given unto thy people to rejoice forevermore, looking for that blessed hope, the soon appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the word, thy word, and in the hands of the Holy Spirit that gives it power and much assurance, and grant that unto thy servant this morning, that we stand here as a vessel fitted for the Master's use, that you may use us to the glory of our Lord. Lead us and keep us. Bless those that are sick, wherever they are listening this morning. Blend with Father, we especially ask thee to be with the wayward sinners, oh, that they may turn unto thee, sinners who are longing after thee this morning. Give them grace to come to thee, to trust thee, to believe, and grace just to rejoice in Christ. For it's in his name we pray and ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to 131, and let's sing Christ Return It. 131. Christ is coming back. He can come back today. Are you ready? Let's sing it. Come on now. Christ is coming. Come on, sing it. Say this is before we sing the next verse. You and I don't realize how close we are to the returning of the Lord. His coming is imminent. The world is preparing to receive the Antichrist. Now, that's how soon we are to the coming of the Lord. And that's why I must impress upon your heart, here in Outer Radio Land, do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you don't know him, if he comes today, you are going to be left behind, and it's going to be that much harder for you to ever get saved. Now, you can laugh it off, you can make fun of it, but the Word of God is sure and true. And look at the times around you. Just look at the time. I'm concerned about your soul, whether you know Christ, because Christ is your salvation. Christ died for sinners. You can be saved no other way except through him. And knowing him is to love him and to wait for his coming, looking for his coming. Might not be the day, maybe. Tomorrow he might come. I'm looking for his coming. But you'll never know unless God opens your heart and lets you see how near we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take his children out of this world that's going to be turned over to the Antichrist. And you talk about, you think we have troubles now? Just think when the Antichrist comes upon the scene. You better turn to the Lord if you don't know him. That's all I can say. Like the Apostle John said, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And that was centuries and centuries ago. And how much nearer we are to the coming of the Lord. And I say, as one of God's children, as his child, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. All right, let's sing now. Come on.
Oh!
Come on and sing with us. Come on. Thank you. Yes, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. And as the Apostle Paul said, if we had hope only in this life, we'd be of all men most miserable. And that's true. But he goes on to say, Christ is risen. Christ is coming. I wonder if you're prepared for his coming. We're glad to greet you again at this hour to bring God's message. And I praise him that he's with us. He tells us, he says, I'll meet with thee and I'll commune with thee from above the mercy seat. Christ is our mercy seat. Do you know that? Christ. Where Christ is, you're going to find sinners. And you can reverse that. Where sinners are, you'll find Christ in their midst. Whether it's one or two or three, Christ says, I'm in the midst. And he's in the midst here this morning. He's looking into every heart. He wants to come into the heart. He longs for it. He longs to see you longing after him. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Do you ever recognize, were you ever taught, or were you ever enlightened in your heart and your mind that it was your sins that Christ died for? That it was your sins that nailed him to the tree? You ever stop to think about that? Now, that's where grace comes in. You'll never know that until grace works in your heart and becomes operative, and it's a lasting thing. But I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice this morning, that you can say within your heart, you may not know Christ right now, you might say, but I sure want to know him. I do. Oh, may he draw me unto himself. May he show me myself by his Spirit. And he'll do that. And if you can say, you know, I know him. He's my hope. He's my salvation. He's my rejoicing. He is my all in all. And I got to think about that this week. Christ is all in all to the believer. He means everything to the believer. Because when God the Father gives you Christ, He gives you everything. He gives you everything He can give you. An adopted son. I'm an adopted son into the family. I'm a joint heir with Christ as His child. He looks upon me as He looks upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, never to be separated again. This morning our text is found in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 21st verses, talking about the God of peace and how we can enjoy that God of peace. The God of peace, the 13th chapter, and the 20th and 21st verses. Let's read it. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now there's the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ as the great shepherd. We are His under-shepherds, but He is the great shepherd. And when the great shepherd appears, when He comes back, the great shepherd who gave His life's blood for sinners, for His sheep, the sheep of His pasture, foreordained to be saved before the foundation of the world. In Philippians 4:9, we read, "The God of peace shall be with you." The God of peace shall be with you. Now He's talking here not to unbelievers. He's talking to those that believe. The Word of God here was written primarily for believers, because unbelievers will not believe the Word of God unless the Holy Spirit opens their hearts and their minds and teaches them out of the law of God. And this is the law of God. But when I read these scriptures here like I read the other day, and to think that Jesus Christ, my great under-shepherd, to think about the God of peace that rules our hearts and our lives, and He's with us. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Giveth I. There's a certain amount of peace in the world that you receive from the world, but it's not lasting peace. That peace will be like everything else. It's going to fade away from you. Like I was talking to a man in my job one day when I used to work for the newspaper. Talking with him, conversation. He was telling me how peaceful he was and how he was enjoying peace. And he had everything the world could give him. And I asked him one question. I said, "Sir, do you have a lasting peace? One that will not only will bless you here, but a lasting peace that will be for throughout eternity?" And right away he turned to me, he says, "There you go again now, you see? Now you're making me feel bad again, and this and that." Well, I hope I can make you feel bad. If you don't have any lasting peace, you don't have any peace at all. Now, a lot of people get peace down here because they've got a good automobile or a new automobile. They get peace. Now, I've got a good automobile. And they get a certain amount of peace out of that. Or a home. Or you've got a good wife. And you get a certain enjoyment of peace out of that. Or maybe anything. Just name it. But they're never talking about the peace of God. The lasting peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives you. So you see, there's a certain amount of peace that we receive from this world. And I get a lot of that too. But I praise the Lord for the everlasting peace that I have. That peace was made for me through who? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. He made peace for us through his blood, through the cross. Now that's the peace that Jesus Christ made for us. And then we come to know the peace of God in our living, in our duties, in our whole characteristics, in our life itself, expresses the peace of God that we have in us. And that controls and motivates our life, the peace of God. And it's not only a temporary peace, but it's a lasting peace. And the peace of God, the God of peace, shall be with you. Then 2 Corinthians 13:11 tells us, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfected, be comforted, be of the same mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Then we find, I'm reading these scriptures before we get into the message. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. You see where God is, like he is in our assembly. He's not a God of confusion. There's no confusion in this assembly. It may be in the heart itself that does not turn to the Lord. But we have the love of God that's with us, that's in us, that overshadows us. He's a God of peace. And those who have made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, they know of the God of peace that rules and reigns in our hearts, in our lives, in our presence. And they used to say that of our late pastor, his message confuses individuals. No, the individual is already confused. And the gospel alone is the only gospel that can bring that sinner out of confusion and give you a good sound mind. And that's what God gave me in salvation. I'm not confused about these things that's happened around us in the world today. They're going to happen because God's word says it. I believe it. I can understand why people don't want to know Christ. And I can understand why sinners do want to know him. The God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 15:33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Oh, that'll be the day. Never bothered by the tempter anymore. And never harassed by the tempter anymore. Satan shall shortly, he says here, be bruised under our feet in his place in hell. Never to bother us anymore. Praise the Lord. And then shortly he's coming again. Our Lord's coming. He's going to remove that terror from us. That which afflicts us day and night. And then the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And we read in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The latter part of verse 9 states that the God of peace shall be with you. Now, we're going to look into this scripture here. Philippians 4:8. Now, turn in your Bible to Philippians 4:8. And let's read this portion of scripture. Whatever things are true, Philippians 4:8. All right. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now listen to that ninth verse says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now let's look at that. Whatever things are true, as in verse 8. A life, now what does that mean? That means a life conforming to facts. Now that's one of the first things in salvation. When God awakens a sinner, he faces a sinner with facts. Not with fairy tales or any other thing, but facts. Paul is speaking here of those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you want the peace of God to rule your life, to bless your heart and life, there are certain things laid down in God's word that we should abide by. That our hearts as God's people, our lives as God's people, will be in conformity to his word. Now he's speaking here of an individual who has, well, we might call him a genuine Christian. Let's look at it. A Christian who abides in Christ. A Christian who knows the will of God for his heart and life. Who might say, who bathes in the promises of God. Who takes on himself, he adorns the gospel of the grace of God. Who grows in the knowledge and the grace of the living God. Now, he's talking about an individual who is free from deceit. One who is a sincere Christian. Now, there's lots of so-called Christians, but how many are sincere in their belief? Sincere in their profession? A loyal. He's talking about a loyal and a faithful Christian. One who is steadfast in the faith, trusting in the promises of God. One whose life is patterned after the word of God. Is your life, or is my life, patterned after the word of God? Or do we go by reasonings, or feelings, or experiences and past experience and feelings, or visions? Like someone called me some time ago and talked about a dream they had. Do we go by dreams? Or do it, you know, let me tell you something. That's the reason why people become confused. There's no argument with an individual when we know he's abiding by the word of God and the promises. There's no confusion in that life. And the Apostle Paul was setting down some certain things here that we might know the God of peace. that the God of peace might rule our hearts and our lives. And I tell you one thing, it's only then that we can enjoy the Lord Himself. We're free from deceit. Deceitful workers are not going to inherit the kingdom. We're free from deceit, schemes, trying to work underneath. And more as the Lord teaches me from His Word, the reason why there are many that used to be here and they're going out from us, they were workers of deceitfulness. They used deceit. To make gain. False prophets. To make gain. They use deceit, craftiness. To try to get in and undermine even those awakened sinners among us. Even those who call themselves saints are trying to undermine. You're my people, you know. You're my people. I'm praying for you. Using deceit, scheme, a preacher who's preaching the Word of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit, who has been called of God, does not have to use deceit in gaining members. God adds to the church such as should be saved. You preach, and then God works. And that's what I've been doing since 6 months here. But I'm seeing the reason now. It's the Lord just showing me those things as I walk with Him. And the reason why these are not here with us anymore. And that's the reason why some pastors have been relieved of their duties in other churches. It's because of people within the congregation using deceit, and trying to confuse members in that audience. But if you're not on Christ, you'll easily be led away with Him. So, now one that doesn't use deceit, he's a loyal and he's a faithful Christian. He is one who knows who he has believed. He knows the gospel of grace. One who is steadfast in the faith of God is within him. It's the faith of Christ, trusting in the promises of God, and one whose life is patterned after the Word of God. You pattern your work, your life after the Word of God, you'll never be confused, you'll never go wrong. But I've lost my way, have you? You have forsaken the Word of God. You have forsaken the promises. It's the promises of God that leads you to Christ. It's believing the promises of God that leads you to believe on Christ. It's not going by feelings. It's not going by visions. It's not anything else but the Word of God. There's your pattern. There's the pattern. There it is. But I want to be saved. I want to know Christ. I don't know what's happened to me. All right. Dwell there. Feed there. There's green pastures there. That grass never dies. It's good. Good for the soul. Good for the individual seeking the Lord. You're not running hither and there and going to church and everywhere else. No wonder you're so confused. You've left the foundation here, God's Word. If you say, well, I don't believe it. Well, if you don't believe it, you'll never get saved. I don't believe that's the Word of God. Well, you just won't get saved, that's all. Man wrote that. Well, Let's put it this way. God inspired men to write the scriptures. Just like he inspires us today to preach the word. What would I do without the Spirit of God this morning? What would I do if he didn't give me grace and boldness to preach Christ and to preach the gospel to your heart and let you see if you're not resting on Christ, you're resting on a sandy foundation that's not going to hold when the judgments come and the wrath of God is poured out? What would I do? Sure, it was written by man, but by the finger of God, he inspired man. Because God breathed into man to write that, to write the scriptures there. It's written with the very breath of God. And you tell me you want to be saved? I tell you to go to the word of God and believe it and be saved. Disbelieve it and be damned forever and ever. You'll never get saved in a part of the word of God. And your life won't be worth two hoots if you don't pattern it after the word of God. You'll never know the God of peace unless you pattern your life after the word of God. And the God of peace will not rule your heart in your life either. One who is steadfast in the faith, trusting in the promise of God, he is girded about with truth, Ephesians 6:14 tells us. You cannot be girded about with truth unless you are a born-again believer, a Christian in reality. Do you know the truth? I think there are many people that are afraid of the truth. They will not yield to the truth, adhere to it, subject themselves unto it. They're afraid of it, not realizing that it could do them the best. And let me use that expression, the goodest of the good. Yes, sirree. It can give you something that you've never had in your life before. Give you peace with God. It give you grace to live. Grace to be adjusted to any circumstances in life. Gives you faith to lay hold of a crucified, buried, and risen Savior. Give you grace to live in that atmosphere, the grace of God. Once I live for sin, but now I live for Christ. Once I lived in the realm of sin and of the world with all of its lust, but now I live in the realm of grace with all of its beauty and holiness and all that God provides me through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In walking, knowing that my sins are forgiven and I've been cleansed and washed forevermore in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, given me an eternal salvation that will never end. Given me a blessed hope. And then he goes on to that next statement in that eighth verse. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest. Now what does that mean? Honest in our actions. Honest in our actions. Honorable in our actions. Being true. Upright. Trustworthy, someone that you can trust. Not someone that you'll always be suspicious of, but someone you can trust. And he's a trustworthy individual. You ever heard that statement? And you can trust that individual. Oh, if he's a sincere Christian, you can put him in a certain place or office or position, and you know he's trustworthy. Whether it's with the finance, with the money, or whether it's playing the tapes, or in the radio studio, or whatever capacity you might put him in God's work, or you might be on the job, and the executive can put you in a certain position, knowing you're going to do a good job. You're trustworthy. I could trust that individual. And that's the way you could tell a true Christian. I can trust him. I know we have workers within our own group, in our offices. I can trust him. I don't have to go around being suspicious about him. I can trust him. And I do trust him. That they will do a faithful job, a good job, naming the name of Christ and knowing that this work is of God and it edifies and glorifies our Lord. I can trust that individual unless the Lord shows me differently. But I can trust him. Her or anyone. Now there's some people you can't trust. There are some people that used to be with us and not with us anymore. You could never trust them. You couldn't trust them among your members or your missions. Just couldn't do it. They're not trustworthy. And I praise the Lord for our late pastor. When he assigned me to the mission in Picayune, he trusted that I'd be faithful on that mission, in that call. And I was, by the grace of God. I didn't go down there to try to overthrow him or try to slander him. But to bear witness of the testimony that we received here. To prove ourselves loyal in the ministry. Loyal to others. And if you have a love that's loyal, that's outright, you don't have to go around, like I told you in the Bible school there, trying to make people love you. They love you. They receive you. But whatever things are honest, honest in our dealings, on your job, be honest in your dealings, in your work, be honest there. Be honorable. Someone could turn and say, you know, he's an honest individual. He gives a good day's work. He don't try to cheat the company out of time and money, but he gives them a good day's work. If you go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning to be on the job, you're there at 8. And I know if you come there after 8 as a Christian, it'll hurt you. I know many times when I used to work in the newspaper, I didn't feel right about being late and then put down the assigned time that I was supposed to be there. I put down the time I came in. I might be reprimanded about it. I accepted it. It was so. But after a while, my boss come to me and say, you know, Herman, you go ahead and put on the right time. That's all right. Put down 8 o'clock because you're very attentive all the time. You're loyal. And if it was a habit, it'd be different. See, they watch your honorable actions on your job, whether it's in the church or whatever it might be. You're supposed to be at a place at 8 o'clock to begin work. That's where you ought to be at 8 o'clock. And if you're due to get off at 3 or 4 or 5, you stay your time there. Be honorable in all your actions as a professing Christian. And then you'll enjoy the God of peace that'll rule your heart, because he's a God of peace and not a God of confusion. Give them their just dues, what they deserve. They're helping you, they help us, and they help the ministry, they help your home, they help the Lord in his work. Honest in our actions, upright, trustworthy. Whatever things are truthful, be fair in all things. Whatever things are just, that's the next statement. This speaks of being righteous as in the eyes of God, as being upright. In Psalms 112:4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. And then the next statement, whatever things are pure. James 1:27 tells us pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In 1 Timothy 5:22, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man. I guess I was one that always liked to run away instead of being right there to tackle somebody. There was a time when I used to cut up a lot before God saved me. And even after I was saved, many times we feel like we want to take somebody by the neck and wring it. But you come across scriptures like this, if you pattern your life after the Word of God, it's God, the Holy Spirit gives you grace to do it. Now I know that Peter was, he was a child of God, and he became anxious about his Lord, and when they offended him, he would readily get up and take the individual to task. But it's not everybody, I guess, in that respect like Peter. And then we have some like that. But for the grace of God, I don't know how many fights we'd all get in. But I come to find out this in this scripture here. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Trust the Lord. Trust grace. The peace of God shall rule your heart. In other words, by showing kindness to someone, you will heap coals of fire upon that individual's head. The scripture says, when they curse you, bless them. They hate you, pray for them. And brother, if you don't love them, you can't pray for them. If you're not saved, you cannot pray for your enemies. First, the individual must be subdued before they can help others and see the trouble in others and try to help them. And then keep thyself clean, untainted with evil. And brother, we've got it all around us. Books and magazines and newspapers filled with all kind of pornography and lust. Evil. Your TVs, your movie houses. You mean to tell me that you can look at a TV with all of its lust? And you tell me you know the peace of God that ruled your heart and your life? Or you could go out and drown yourself in the lust of this world, in drinking and revelry and everything else. You mean to tell me you know the God of peace that rules your heart and your life? I must say definitely no, you don't. Because your life is not being patterned after the Word of God. And if that's the kind of life that you live, I might doubt your salvation, whether you know the Lord or not. Because you are going to abide by the Word of God. You are going to abide by the Word of God. Keep thyself clean. Sin leaves its stain and can be removed only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11:1, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And the word chaste means pure, stainless. Keeping oneself unspotted by the Word of God. Through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go over to the next statement. Whatever things are lovely, where he speaks here of those that are holy admirable. You admire them. Lovely. Loveliness. Loveliness. There's no reason in the world for a professing Christian to be unclean in their habits, in their life. There's no excuse in the world. In their dress, in their habits. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Having an inborn beauty, which has reference here to the new birth. And I tell you what, the new birth will make you clean up your life. The grace of God that God gives you through grace to, and you tell me you're born again, He'll give you grace to clean up your life. The Word of God will clean it up. And that's the reason why people stay away from the Word of God. They don't want their lives clean, which means that you're not saved. Man, after God saved me, I wanted to be more like my Lord. I just wanted to be more like Him. Lord, make me like You. That's the cry of a child of God, the one that's been born again, who has that inborn beauty. He wants that to come outwardly. He wants to express it outwardly. Lord, make me like Thee. Make me like Thee. Now, I know our time is coming to a close to you in Radio Land. I wish we had a little bit more time here. But until next week, the 7 to 8 Voice of Truth, the Bible School of the Air at 10 o'clock, and 11 o'clock preaching, we'll say goodbye. May God's blessings rest upon you. Let us hear from you. Now, I won't keep you much longer, but you listen. We'll go right through this, but maybe you and I can learn things. What things are lovely? And this has reference to the new birth. Now, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Then we read in Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified in that life. Then whatever things are of good report, are having a quality well reputed. Isaiah 53:1 reads, who hath believed thy report? Well, I tell you, I have a whole lot here. Maybe we'll continue next Sunday. But I believe that you and I have gotten enough out of this today in our Sunday school of Bible School of the Air, and also this. I've done my best, as God's given me the ability, to tell you of the right way and to warn you of the wrong way, of what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian. What a lovely statement. And what it means not to be a Christian. To be one born again from within. And that which is within, which is Christ, that new nature, that new heart He gives you, the Holy Spirit, it will show outwardly whether you're a child of God or you're not a child of God. Like I said, after God saved me, my deepest concern, my deepest cry was, Lord, make me like Thee. Make me more like You. In all of Your characteristics, in Your love, in Your mercy, in all Your purity, tenderness, and He's been doing that. I know there's lots of dross that has to be burned off us, but he, through his word, by his spirit, is conforming his people like unto himself. Because he wants us down here, while we're in this earthen tabernacle, to enjoy him and not to be confused about any issue, anything, but to know whom we have believed, to know what he saved us from and what he saved us to, and give us a life of happiness and joy in the Lord. There's joy in the Lord. And that's only when the peace of God rules our hearts and our lives, and our lives are conformed to the Word of God. They're patterned after the Word of God. And the Word of God teaches us Christ. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. May you put on Christ, as the scripture says. Put on Christ. Believe upon him. Trust him to the salvation of your soul. Let's stand. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning for thy presence with us and in us, thy glory that overshadows us. We thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, for thy great grace that rests upon us, grace to believe thee, grace to tell others about thee, and grace to walk with thee, walking and thinking with our Lord. Bless thy people. Bless those who's come, made their way to our gates here this morning. Our Father, teach them the way of the Lord if they do not know you. And we thank thee that we can trust this message in thy hands. Bring us back tonight and lead us through the week as we go to Sardis to bring thy message and fellowship there in our Lord, one with another. For Christ's sake, we ask it in his name. Amen.